we are continuing with our new sermon series on Jeremiah, where we're thinking about pursuing kingdom excellence. And this morning, we're in chapter 17, which we just read, and we're going to find out how we can be blessed even when our circumstances become really, really difficult. We talk about God's blessing quite a lot, don't we? But what does that actually mean? God's blessing is, it's the life of God, the rich, wonderful life of God that we feel and know and experience. It's a life of spiritual prosperity. That is God's blessing. It's been refreshed by his love. It's been nourished by his grace. It's experiencing his peace because of his promises. It's becoming spiritually secure and mature. And God's blessing does not depend on outward conditions. That's what we're going to think about this morning. Kingdom excellence is knowing God's blessing. And kingdom excellence isn't about, I have to be a really good person and excellent and I'm working towards it. It's when I'm walking through the shadows, when I'm in a drought, when the heat comes, I can still know and experience God's blessing. So let's find out then how to be blessed. Jeremiah begins by setting the scene for us in the first two verses. And it's not good. Perhaps you noticed the severity of these words, the sadness of these words. Jeremiah's sin is engraved with an iron tool, inscribed with a flint point on the tablets of their hearts. So it was deep, their sin, the sin of the nation. And sadly, it wasn't just amongst the adults, it even reached the children. Even their children remember their altars and Asherah poles beside the spreading trees and on the high hills. That's a reference to idolatry. They had turned away from God, young and old. They were pursuing idols and other things. That's the situation. That's the scene that's set by Jeremiah for us. And God responds by contrasting what will happen if they trust in humans and idols. He contrasts that with what will happen if they decide to trust in God and follow him. And the contrast is drawn by two pictures, a bush in the desert and a tree that's planted by water. So first of all, the bush or the shrub in the desert, verses 5 and 6. This is what the Lord says, cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. And actually, if the words of Jeremiah 17 sound familiar, that's because they're also, there's a very parallel passage in Psalm 1. So some interesting homework to read Psalm 1 and the compare and contrast with Jeremiah 17. Perhaps Jeremiah knew Psalm 1. Maybe. Anyway, someone whose heart is turned to humans and not to God. So someone who trusts in mankind and man-made things and gets their strength from idols and so on, and not God, they are described in verse 6 as being, first of all, a stunted shrub in the wastelands. This shrub doesn't have enough water, so therefore it won't grow properly. It's stunted. Life away from God's living water means we can't grow in his love, in his strength, in his new life. We miss out on a life of love. And being like this means we don't experience prosperity. It's not talking about financial prosperity, but spiritual. A person who is trusting in humans or trusting in anything besides God, they miss out on God's blessings, the rich life of being accepted and secure and significant and saved, that life of knowing God. They miss out on all that spiritual prosperity. They live a life that's parched and lifeless in the desert. They're in a spiritual desert, is what this means. In a salt land, nothing grows where there's salt, does it? There's no spiritual life, no relationship with God, no enjoyment of his presence, nothing like that at all. That's the person who's trusting in human things rather than trusting in God. And actually, these verses, they challenge us to ask the question, who do I trust in? Who do you trust in? Where is your confidence? Who do you rely on? Yourself? Technology? Where do you look to when things get tough, or to solve the problems of the world? Science? The government? Money? Where do you draw your strength from? Yourself? From human wisdom? Psychology? Self-help books? Other people? In Jeremiah's time, people, as we've seen, trusted in idols. And it's exactly the same in society today. Our society does exactly the same as Jeremiah's society. And the big idols of our culture, the things that people look to and depend on and put their confidence in and trust in, the big idols of UK culture at least are sex, money, power, consumerism, self-reliance, self-autonomy, self-authority. Those things are the idols of our time, are what people are looking to for confidence and assurance and help, for meaning, significance and security. But God says, cursed is the person who does that, who lives like that, who trusts in man, who draws in strength from mere flesh. Cursed to a life living in a spiritual wasteland, like a tumbleweed being blown across the salt flats by the winds of whatever is popular or acceptable in society at that particular time. Are you like that? Are the roots of your life, the thing that gives you strength, are they in man? Do you live away from God? In a parched place, drawing your strength from weak humanity. Is that how you live? Are you living a life that's missing out on God's blessings? Or are you a planted tree? This is the second half of the contrast. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. In Israel, in the area southwest of the Sea of Galilee, it's very, very dry. It's just dusty. The soil gets blown away very easily. There's lots of sand. The vegetation is sparse. There's no green grass like in the UK. It's just bare earth. But right in the centre of this is an area that some say is one of the most beautiful places on earth. And if you visited Israel, you might well have been there because it's very popular with tourists. It's called Gan Hashalosha, the Garden of Three Springs. And here are some photos of it. Gan Hashalosha is so beautiful that some rabbis say it could possibly have been the location of Eden. You can see in the photos, can't you, the pools of water. And these are fed by these underground springs. And as I said, it's a tourist trap. It's very, very popular because you've got the heat of the desert, the sun, but you've got the cool water. You've got the shade from the trees that grow all around because of these springs that are coming up from underground. And Jeremiah tells us a person who trusts in God is like a tree planted at Gan Hashalosha. And the key thing about this tree in these verses is it's planted, okay? And it's planted by the water, so its roots can get nourishment. And what does that mean? It means it's healthy. It's always healthy. Its leaves are green, a sign of good health. and it bears fruit. It's not only blessed by God, a fruitful life, but it becomes a blessing to others too by that fruit. When we trust God and our confidence is in him, then we're planted in him. Our roots go down into him, down to the streams of living water. And what this means is a life that's free from fear about what might happen in the future. Because if the heat comes, if difficult things come into our lives, if other sources of joy and happiness and comfort and stability and health and security, if those things dry up, we continue to be nourished by God. Or if a drought comes, maybe if we experience a drought of friendship and we feel lonely, maybe if there's a drought in our marriage, in our work, or maybe if we go through a dry season of the soul, we have no worries because God will help. God will nourish us in those times. God will get us through those times of drought. It will be okay because God will be there. Because there's that water that's coming up, like in Gan Hashlosha, those springs that feed us. Don't forget, this was written by Jeremiah, and Jeremiah felt the heat, didn't he? He really did. At times, it felt as if everybody in the nation had turned against him, because the king turned against him, the priests turned against him, the prophets turned against him, the people turned against him, his own family turned against him. He really felt the heat. He also went through drought. There was this massive spiritual drought in Judah. People were just turning away from God and worshipping idols, even the children. He went through the difficult times, but he knew God's help. And that is how to be blessed. We can be blessed even when the heat comes, even during the drought. We trust in God, we put our confidence in him. And therefore our roots are in him. And actually that means that we actively put our roots in him. Like a tree actively stretches out, grows its roots towards the source of water. The tree does that. It's just a plant and it stays there. Its roots are always pushing towards the source of nourishment and refreshment. And so for us in our Christian life, if we want to experience God's blessing, it means we're not coasting in our Christian life. We're not getting lazy. We're not neglecting our relationship with God. We're taking every opportunity we can to get closer to him, to stretch out our roots into him, to worship him, to pray, to fast, to listen to him. And take those times out where we do spend quiet times with him, just listening, to be still, to pursue his presence. And then we will know blessing. Even when the heat comes, even when we experience drought of various kinds, even when our circumstances are hard and things start falling apart around us, we can still know God's blessing. I came across an example of this that I'm going to read to you. This is from a Christian blogger called Sarah Phillips. She writes, "I have a friend who may not seem very blessed to people looking in from the outside. At age 18, he was diagnosed with aggressive leukemia and went from professionally swimming to fighting for his life in hospital in a matter of weeks. Over the next few years, he endured treatment after treatment, each one more brutal than the last. He is now cancer-free, but is instead living with a debilitating chronic condition, a result of the cancer. For 7 years now, he has endured chronic pain that prevents him from sleeping, increasingly damaged skin that seriously affects his mobility and causes terrible wounds that refuse to heal. At age 29, he cannot work or exercise or travel, and he spends many hours of the week in hospital. Nobody can tell him whether he will ever get better or not, because nobody knows. But he is extraordinarily blessed. He is blessed because he knows with utter certainty and conviction that his Heavenly Father loves him and knows what is ultimately good for him. He is blessed because he walks closely with God, driven daily to his knees in prayer. He is blessed because he recognizes his weakness and dependence on God and drinks in his word. He is blessed because he's forced to collapse regularly into God's sustaining arms and has experienced firsthand that Jesus is truly enough. He is blessed because his eyes are firmly fixed on heaven, since this life for him is so painful and broken. God blesses us by changing our hearts, and God has sculpted my friend's heart into a masterpiece. He is remarkably blessed. The heat has come into that young man's life. He is in a drought of pain and suffering that's probably unending. But he's blessed because he's pushed his roots deep, deep, deep into God. The pain has pushed his roots deep, and he's nourished by God. He's living as a tree planted by streams of living water. His trust is in God. His confidence is in him. That's how he is living. How are you living? Will you live the life of trusting in yourself or trusting in God? Will you draw strength from human efforts or from the underground springs of God's living water? Will you be a stunted shrub or a planted tree? Will you be spiritually dead or alive in Jesus Christ? Will you choose today blessing or curse? Don't be deceived into choosing to trust in yourself. In verse 9 of Jeremiah 17, Jeremiah warns us that our hearts are deceptive. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? We can easily tell ourselves that we're fine without God, that we cope, that we don't need him, that we can do it. But if we say that, we're deceiving ourselves. Because, yes, we can do okay without God to an extent. Many atheists live a happy life, right? Of course they do. But what about when the ultimate heat comes? The heat of death followed by God's judgment. When we come before God and he sees our hearts and all the sins that we've done, as it says in verse 10, and how we've rejected him and pushed him away and ignored him. What then? Nothing we can do can save us from God's judgment. It's coming. We can't do anything about it because our hearts are corrupted, we've sinned, we can't escape from that. And that's why Jeremiah cries out in verse 14, "Heal me, Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are the one I praise." If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, will you come to God and ask for your heart to be healed, to be saved from judgment? Will you move from ignoring God to praising him? Jesus came into the world to heal our hearts, to save us from punishment, to be the living water which nourishes and blesses us. He came into the world to enable us to move into that life of blessing which God has for us, to be that tree planted by living water. Will you come to him? He is your hope, your ultimate hope, as it says in verse 13. Lord, you are the hope of Israel. And that extends in our time. God is the hope of the nations. Don't forsake him. He loves you. He wants you. He's offering to plant you. Will you come to him, confess your sin, and trust in Jesus? Then when the ultimate heat of death and judgment come, you know you'll be saved. You know you'll be safe. You'll enjoy the everlasting blessing of God. For those of us who already are Christians here this morning, this verse is a reminder to keep close to the Lord. Because sometimes, even though we're Christians, we can drift. Sometimes we forsake God. Sometimes we turn away from him. And we start to believe that other things will nourish us and bless us and give us that fulfillment we crave. We can be like this verse. My people have committed, this is Jeremiah 2:13, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. A cistern is a container that was dug and then water was stored in it. Even though we are Christians, we can start digging our own cisterns like Mr. AI man is doing here. And we can think to ourselves, I know how to get fulfillment and satisfaction and joy. I'll do it myself. And we can start digging various places, looking for our own sources. And we dig and we dig and we dig and we get a bit of satisfaction, but then it drains away. Because no matter how well we dig, our cisterns will always be broken. They can never keep hold of the living water that gives ultimate satisfaction to our hearts. I wonder, is that you right now, if you're a Christian? Have you drifted from God? Are you forsaking him for other things? Have you started to neglect things that allow you to root yourself in him? Things like prayer, fellowship, being with God's people, reading the Bible, spending time listening to God, believing truths about yourself and about God, truths taken from the Word, the Bible. Have you, as it were, left the water's edge? Are you moving back into the desert? Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8 urges us to continue following Jesus. And now, just as you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, so that all happened to us one day, didn't it? Maybe it was a day like that and we did it, or maybe it was like the sunrise, a gradual dawning, but we accepted Jesus. But the verse says, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him. And let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught. And you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For us to be rooted in Jesus, our thinking about him and our beliefs about him need to be in truth. Because it's easy. Sometimes we forsake God by just chasing after other sins. But sometimes we drift into lies and half-truths about God. We forget what the Word really says. For example, we can end up, if we're Christians, believing that we're unloved and we're rejected by God. But if we slip into that way of thinking, we need to drink again from the streams of truth that tell us that through Jesus we are God's child. We are God's friend. We are forgiven and accepted. We're not forsaken. We never will be. Or we can end up believing and thinking that we're alone and abandoned by God and shameful before him. If we think that, we need to root ourselves in the truth that because of Jesus we're free from condemnation. We can't be separated from the love of God. And we can always find mercy and grace in our time of need. Do you need to return to these truths about God and about yourself? Have they slipped out of your grasp? Are you drifting into the desert? Have you been deceived, captured, as this verse says, verse 6, into believing half-truths or lies that are from, as it says, human thinking, spiritual powers of this world, rather than from of Christ? Do you need to stretch out your roots again? To move away from trying to find your fulfillment in the idols of sex, money, power, self-reliance, self-autonomy, self-authority, and push into God? I sang this song last week at a prayer meeting I went to, and I hadn't heard it before, I don't think, but I wanted to share it with you. Here it, don't worry, I won't sing it, I'll just read it. Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. As we finish now, this is an opportunity. This is time for you and for me to lay down before God whatever is pulling us away from the living water. To surrender to God whatever is causing us to dwell in the parched places of the desert and miss out on his blessing. Whether that's a burden you're bearing, a crown you're wearing, a lie you're believing, a doubt you're having, or an idol you're trusting, or anything else, let's take this opportunity in a few moments of quiet now to just lay that down before God. To lay down whatever is preventing you from becoming this tree planted by the water, this planted tree. To lay down whatever is making you into the stunted shrub in the salt land. Is there anything that you need to surrender to God? Is there anything that you're conscious of? You need to put that away because you sense you're drifting. Let's just do that now. Let's do business before God in a few quiet moments, and then I'll close in prayer. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, for our time together this morning in your word. Spirit, please, we know our hearts, they deceive us. We pray that you would cause our hearts to chase after you and not after broken cisterns. We pray that we will be people who are planted trees, not stunted shrubs, Lord. Call us out of the desert places into your land of blessing. Thank you that you want blessing for us. Thank you that that blessing is so powerful that it can even happen when he comes, when the drought comes. Thank you that that blessing isn't just for this life now. It's everlasting. It's waiting for us. We praise you. We worship you in the name of Jesus. Amen.